Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Now, as you know, it's June. That means it is Pride Month for the LGBTQ plus community. And when you talk about Pride, I think it's a great time for people to take stock and certainly look to the future. But when you look to the future, you really need to also examine the past and where you've come from. And the fact is, most recorded Irish LGBTQ plus history has happened very recently. In fact, it's almost entirely happened in the last 50 years. So Donal Harkin, volunteer with Shout Out, has been working on a project called Know Your Queer History, and he joins me now. Hello, Donal.
Hello, Louise. How are things? Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. It's lovely to chat to you. So tell me a little bit about this project and how the series came about.
Yeah, so basically Shout Out is a small charity based in Dublin, and we kind of go into schools and workplaces and we give workshops to raise, you know, awareness of LGBT issues and to like stop discrimination and bullying. And I've been a volunteer with them since 2018. And when I became involved, I just realized so many people didn't know much about queer history and how our rights were achieved. Mm. And I thought, why not interview people who were involved and try and make it an easy and accessible and kind of quick learning tool? And basically that's what happened. And I brought it to Shout Out and they said, absolutely, go ahead. And then we interviewed all these people who were involved in the movement.
So tell me about who is involved in the videos.
Yeah, so we've 12 people, so from different ranges. So we have Mary McAleese, David Norris, Catherine Zappone, we have Lydia Foy, Tony Walsh. We've so many people who were involved in different ways. And all of them were involved since basically the 1970s onwards. And they all went to achieve progression for gay rights in Ireland. So we kind of did a quick kind of online interview with them over Zoom, obviously during COVID times. Mm. And we just asked them like how they involved and what they did. And it's just a way for people to learn what their role was.
And tell me, did you learn yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like there were so many interesting things I learned. I think for me, you know, David Norris was just such a character to interview. And one thing he said was how he was like the first openly gay person to go on RTE. And they wanted to hide his face. And it was just amazing to hear about it and see how, you know, putting yourself forward back then was such a thing to do. And like, there was so much risk attached as well. And it was just amazing to hear about it.
And they wanted to hide his face. I presume that was to protect him.
Yes, absolutely. So he said, how RT said, look, we'll hide your face so people will know you. And he said, I'm not going to do that, because if I hide my face, people will automatically assume I am like some sort of monster, some sort of like, you know, devious person. And he said, I'm only going to go on if I can actually show who I am and say who I am. And again, the risk he took was unbelievable. But, you know, he said, how can we progress gay rights if people don't see me as a human, a normal person?
You know, it's funny because that became, didn't it, the foundation really of the marriage equality movement. It was that, you know, people needed to connect with people on a human level and understand people's experiences in order to get to a stage where, you know, people could think more openly about things. So really, he was way ahead of his time with his strategy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, you know, I'm in awe of him, to be honest. Like, he really just brought himself forward and said, I need to change things. He said one of the reasons he went forward is because he was treated by a psychiatrist years ago. And he said to him, you know, you should leave this country. You shouldn't stay here because, you know, you'll never be accepted. And he said to himself, how is this possible? How is this, you know, the way Ireland is? And he says, I'm going to fight for gay rights and you know, try and achieve acceptance. And that then led to the decriminalisation campaign and then marriage equality. And it's just amazing to think how he is one person just brought it forward. And even people like Catherine Zappone, who took the core challenges with her partner Annalise Gilligan, like, it's just amazing how they did it. And, you know, again, so much risk was involved as well, and they just said, no, we believe in this, we're going to do it, and we brought it forward.
I actually have a clip of both David Norris and Catherine Zappone here, so let's have a listen first to David Norris talking about that RTE appearance.
When I did the first television interview with a gay man ever in Ireland in 1975, RTE said they would film me back to the camera in shadow with my voice disguised. And I said, well, in that case, I won't do it, because the whole point is to show that I'm an ordinary person. If I'm in shadow with back to the camera and a voice disguised, I'll come across as a monster, and I don't want to.
You can see completely where he's coming from on that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, he just said to himself, look, if I want to do this, I have to show people I'm a human being. And again, it's amazing the change that's happened. It's so recent as well.
Yeah.
And how these people put themselves forward. And like, it was just amazing to learn how they did it and how they brought it forward. And it's fascinating to think how we've come so far in such a short period of time as well. Like, really, we went from decriminalising homosexuality in 1993 to same-sex marriage in 2015. 22 years, not a long time at all.
Yeah, I feel like we need to say that again. Like, the decriminalization of homosexuality in 1993. Like, that is so recent.
Yeah.
Not even 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I have a clip as well. You mentioned there Catherine Zapone and her role, mm-hmm. the role that she played in terms of moving toward marriage equality. I have a clip here from your chat with her about how marriage equality began in Ireland.
Canada in Vancouver opened its gates for LGBT people. You didn't have to be a citizen or resident, but you could go and get married there. We did that. We got married in 2003. We came back to Ireland and we wrote to the revenue commissioner and we said, would you please recognize our marital status in light of our taxes? And he or she wrote back and said, dear ladies, no. So it was on that basis that we began a major high court case to get to challenge that no and to say, yes, we ought to be included in our constitution. We knew that it was going to be a long journey. We gathered a small group of friends around us to support us and to advocate for marriage equality while our court case was being prepared.
I think it seems kind of wild now, given where we are, that they had to fight so much just for that kind of recognition. But I remember this was in my adult life.
Absolutely. Like, it's you know, it's nearly like popular now to be, you know, pride, LGBT awareness. It's nearly like, you know, the kind of the done thing. But as Catherine said, you know, when her and Anna Louise took those court actions, it was just like, you know, groundbreaking. And she said as well in an interview how they were trying to bring other people together to like take like a class action in the courts. And she said they could not find other people to do that with them because people were so scared that if they went forward and, you know, tried to advocate and challenge the laws that something would happen to them. And she mentions as well how Anna Louise could have lost her job. She worked for St. Patrick's Education, the teacher training school in Drumcondra. Mm. And, you know, she could have lost everything doing what they did. And it's just mad to think that that is so recently. That's only 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me, because you mentioned there that Mary McAleese is one of the people that you spoke to. And Mary McAleese really has, you know, since her presidency, become a real advocate for the LGBTQ plus community. Can you tell me a little bit about your conversation with her?
Yeah, absolutely. So Mary McAleese, she actually was involved fighting for gay rights since the 1970s, something many people may not be aware of.
No, I actually didn't know she was involved that early.
Yeah, yeah, she gave legal advice to the decriminalisation campaign in the 1970s. She was involved with David Norris's campaign. So she was always kind of advocating, fighting for gay rights. And then obviously she was president for 14 years and now she's become very critical and vocal about the Catholic Church's stance on LGBT rights. And her son, Justin, is gay as well. Mm. So, you know, she's always said that, you know, the stance of the church has done so much damage to people who are LGBT. And she just said it's just not good enough the way it is. And she's been so vocal about it. And it was just amazing to hear her speak. And one thing that really struck out to me was when she mentioned about, I asked her, you know, what would you say to parents of LGBT people who maybe are struggling to accept their children's sexuality or gender identity due to their religious beliefs? And she said a really interesting story about how, you know, she spoke to parents who didn't accept it initially. And she said a really, you know, amazing thing. It was like, do you want your child to flourish or do you want your child to flounder? And she is just such an advocate and ally, and she really, really is taking it on. I think it's so important.
Mm. I have a clip here from your chat with her where she talks about the church and the family.
What would you say to parents who are struggling to accept their children's sexuality or gender identity due to their religious beliefs?
I would ask them what's the most important thing to them. Is that belief more important than the love you have for your child and watching your child blossom happily? Or do you want to be part of a system that might actually hurt or damage that child?
Hard to argue with when you put it that way, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think like it's so relevant because, you know, there really is sometimes this, I suppose, fight between people of like, how can I accept this due to my religious beliefs? And even for myself, you know, personally, when I was growing up, one of the reasons I didn't come out until I was 23 was because, you know, my faith was important to me and I thought, I can't be like this. How can I be like this? And it's just amazing to see Mary McAleese saying, no, you know, it's okay the way you are. You can be who you are. And, you know, taking on that, you know, role of being like, you know, whatever your identity or whatever sexuality, you know, that's you and that's okay.
And do you still, have you maintained your faith?
Have I maintained? I suppose when my parents are listening now, they want to make sure I said yes. You know, I always say, when you're brought up in a very traditional Catholic family, you know, you'll always have a part of it in you. And I still have a faith, but I suppose the institution itself, you know, I think how can they have the stance and belief, you know, I like to think I'm a good person. I like to think that I've, you know, I do good things. So it does kind of upset me to think that I'm not accepted or viewed as, you know, a credible part of the Catholic community. So I have my faith still, but it's upsetting that I can't, you know, be accepted or welcomed as for who I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I let you go, Donal, is there anything else that you think, you know, if someone's listening and they really don't know anything about queer history in Ireland, is there any one thing you'd like them to know about?
Yeah, I think just to be mindful of, like, you know, it all happened so recently, but there's still things that need to be done as well. You know, we're in a great place right now, but there's still issues to be addressed. You know, we still have an education system in schools which doesn't promote, you know, LGBT relationships on the same level as heterosexual relationships. We only saw there a few weeks ago how a new RSC curriculum that was brought in placed, you know, homosexual relationships at a lower level. So much has been achieved, and we've had amazing people and amazing advocates who have put themselves out there, and they've sacrificed so much to fight for what they believe in, but there's still stuff that needs to be done. So as I always say, you know, we don't know where we're going until we know where we've come from. So I think it's a great way to learn what has happened, but what still needs to be addressed. And so that's the main thing I'd like people to know.
And I know that Shout Out, obviously, who is the charity that you volunteer for and whose YouTube channel hosts this series, is that's one of the things that they work on. They work on educating students, teachers, youth workers, workplaces, parents and guardians. They do absolutely stellar work. So where do people need to go to find the Know Your Queer History series, Donal?
Yeah, so we have it on our website, shoutout.ie, on our Instagram, our Facebook, or YouTube. So Shoutout, it's all of there. So they're all available to watch.
Super. Shoutout.ie. Donal Harkin, volunteer with Shoutout. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me on, Louise.
Have a great day. Thanks a million.
Louise McSherry on 2FM.